I don't feel like I have that much to say. I had a really interesting evening. I went out with some friends. The caregiver was good with my mom. She basically fell asleep, and I mean, I really didn't have to deal with her at all, but that's because she didn't sleep the night before, and I knew she was gonna be tired. But you just can't leave her alone, you know? And so, yeah, caught up with some friends, had some laughs. It was cool. And I saw my buddy from work. I just don't see her anymore. And I don't know. I think everybody does important work. But the kind of work that I do, like, you really have to decompress. And I'm not saying that there aren't nice people here, that there aren't cool people here, but the people I connected with the most, none of them are here anymore. And it's just hard because I don't always feel like I can decompress. And yeah, I miss that. I miss that. So anyway, it's been a tough week as far as work is concerned. I'm going to say this. I think, I don't think I did my intro either, did I? Good morning, everybody. This is Judith Ego. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. I don't remember saying that. I don't think I did. Anyway, had a good evening. I slept great. So that was cool. And it was a tough work week. I want people to understand something. We must protect our kids at all costs. You know, I cannot stress it enough. Be careful who you decide to have kids with. Be careful should you happen to already have kids and you start dating a man and you move him in with your prepubescent daughters and sons, but definitely daughters. If you got a 13, 14 year old daughter, it's just a horrendously bad idea. You have to protect your kids, and you just have to care more about them than you do yourself. Otherwise, don't have kids. Don't have them. You know? And that's a crucial lesson to learn, because just because someone wants to have sex with you doesn't mean they love you. And just because they want to have sex with you and you get pregnant, it doesn't mean that they love you and will be committed to you. You need to understand who you're having children with. Is this person a molester? Will they harm you, their own children? Will they harm other people's children? And will you believe it when you are told that they're being inappropriate? Pay attention to people in your life and who they are and how they're in your life. I never would have guessed that there's so many grown human beings who want to violate children in every way. I never would have guessed that. And I'm not trying to be grim or dark or depressing, but that's the week I've had. That's the last 2 weeks I've had. And it's like, what are we out here doing? How is this getting by us? What are people thinking about when they meet people? What are you talking about? Are you noticing things? Did you blow past a few red flags because you really thought this person was cute, or you really just had to date this person? You know, don't be moving them in over your girls. You know, just don't do it. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. And if some harm should befall your kids, get them therapy. I don't understand. I feel like Black people really don't value therapy and going to talk to people and really getting the help that they need. I've seen multiple scenes where people witnessed horrific, tragic things, and they just stare at it. They're clearly traumatized, and then they just drive off, and it's like they're never going to go see a therapist. They just saw someone get murdered. They're not going to do anything for themselves to help ease this. And it's really hard. It's hard because it's not like the courts can mandate, you know, that you get therapy, but somebody needs to look at you and say, you need help. And there's nothing wrong with going to see somebody to get this worked through. And that's essentially what I use my good friends at work for, which is decompression. Like, I just saw some horrible shit. Let's talk about it. You know, and your real friends go, hey, you want to go to lunch? Let's just go to lunch or something like that. You know what I mean? Or they tell you a story or you start laughing or something else. And that's what I miss the most right now in my work life, is just having people that I can go, I can sit in their office, we can shoot the breeze, we can laugh, I can get this shit off my chest. And they get it. That's the other part. They get it. Like, there's nobody here that really gets it for me right now. They don't get me. They don't, you know, I miss my friends who could offer up a word. You know, I had two deeply spiritual friends here that both retired, and they were just so great, and they would just say the right thing and lift your spirits, and we'd have a conversation about God and it and how important God has to remain when you do this type of work. Like, being God-centered and having a Christ consciousness is super important in this type of work. And yeah, if I sound sad, it's because I miss my friends. I really do. And you know, it's just been a tough couple of weeks. Like, my mom is just, you know, and somebody, now this is interesting. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share this. So I have a coworker. She's really one of these people that's super questionable. Like, she does a black scent. She's not black. And I've called her on it. She says these borderline things. And I can't tell if she's racist or if she's just never really known this many black people. I don't know. And I try to give her a pass. But yesterday, we were talking, and she's just like, and I don't know how you've made it. I mean, you really, you have a card, but you just never seem to play. You're just so optimistic, you know, and with your background. And I was like, my background? Like, it was something she said, and I was like, it was something in her tone and what she said, and I can't remember exactly, because I just was like, what are you talking? Like, I immediately got a little base, because I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I did not grow up poor. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just didn't. I'm like, you can keep your pity. I have had a great life. I went to Catholic school K to 12. I went out of state to a private university. I've never gone to public school. I went to two private universities after that. I was like, I'm not sure. I was like, I have two parents in the home. We lived in a nice house. We drove new Chrysler cars. Like, what are you talking about? And yes, the neighborhood I grew up in is terrible now, but it was not terrible when I was growing up. And so I was like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. And she was like, well, maybe I'm just not saying it right. But then I was like, I don't know what you're saying. I mean, literally the inference was like, I had to pick cotton after school or something. And I was like, I had a good life. I was a spoiled rotten kid. You know, I got a car at 16. Like, what are you talking about? And it's like, oh, you're doing that classic thing that people do, which is people who are either liberal, because the liberals are the worst offenders. You're either a liberal or you're doing that other thing that people who don't know any black people do, which is, I'm going to use the words black and poor interchangeably. Well, you barking up the wrong tree. I did not grow up hard scrabble. I was a middle class kid. Now, would that same childhood be replicated on those same dollars in 2024? Probably not. because of inflation. But my parents were married. You couldn't even get a mortgage in our neighborhood if you weren't married. I grew up around all two-parent homes because of that, you know, and we were redlined. So there were people who made more money, but they couldn't live everywhere they wanted to live. So they lived in our neighborhood. You know, I was like, I'm not sure what you where you got your intel. This sounds crazy. So, yeah, I thought that was weird. And it's so I'm sure somebody younger than me would call that one of those microaggressions or whatever. But I don't believe in that. It's just a fucked up thing to say. And I corrected it right then and there. And someone else black came in the office and made a comment about something. And then it like, you know, office float trips or whatever. And then she was being quote unquote funny. And she was like, well, it's because you guys can't swim. Ha ha, I'm just being funny. I was like, so you're just going to do all the stereotypes today. And then when the person left, she was like, I was just being funny with the swimming thing. I said, yeah, but you weren't with the other thing. You really thought you were making some deep, you feel sorry for me because I'm black and poor. Bitch, I ain't never been black and poor. Not like what you're thinking. You know, when I was the poorest I've ever been, I still had 2 college degrees. You know, it was just a matter of execution. I'm a screenwriter. And if you think it's because I have to take care of my mom, it's because I made money for me. I didn't plan on having to take care of my mom like this. None of us did. Ask any of my siblings. Ask anybody who knew my mom. No one thought she would get sick like this. She was always so meticulous about her health, and she's completely narcissistic. So it was like no one saw this coming. Because she was so into her health and going to the doctor and you know, watching her weight and all the stuff that you're supposed to do. That's how I know that you can outlive your brain, Nick, because they don't know shit about your brain. They can fix all the other stuff, but they just never counted on people living long enough to be like, wait a minute. But now my brain is rotting inside of my head. So I'm telling you, that was just fascinating. I was like, okay, you're low key feeling sorry for me. I've had a wonderful life. Now, what I didn't budget for is taking care of my mom. And this is what I'm trying to tell people. This is not a poor people problem. It's going to be a 99% problem because most people do not have an extra $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. And that's by today's prices. They don't have an extra 10 grand a month. Not a year, a month to spend on someone's health care. So if you're going to feel sorry for me, feel sorry for yourself, because I bet your ass don't got that either. It's expensive. I just didn't know where that was coming from. And I mean, and you're poor. Like, she didn't come out and say it, but it was just sort of like, you're just so poor. And you grew up poor and you never complain. She said something like, and you never play that card. I said, well, we both got a card. And we share the woman card. Now that one's accurate. This other bullshit you're talking about, I don't even know what you're talking about. And all my friends were middle class. We were middle class kids. Plus I'm 50. I'm in my 50s. I didn't grow up in the 90s and 2000s. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s when there was a very strong, thriving black middle class. And I was in it. We were working class, but we were middle class. So I didn't understand that bullshit at all. So I guess I did have something to talk about. Because that was crazy. And so it's like, you know, these little conversations where these people are condescending towards you and they think they're showing you empathy. Fuck that. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't need your pity. I don't want your pity. I didn't ask for your pity. People need to understand. There is a bigger issue at play than race, and it is class. And I am not low class. I'm not poor. I've never been poor. Now, have I been the richest kid in the room? Hell no. You know, I didn't really understand. And I was trying to explain to her. I was like, do you understand? When I got to Howard, there were rich black kids, and they were richer, I'm going to guess, than anybody you knew in South County. You know, my friends were like one of my friends, I think she was, I can't always understand the connection, but there was a connection between her family and Johnny Cochran. I think she called herself Johnny's goddaughter. And then one of my friends was, you know, NFL player's child. That's a lot of money. Then I have friends whose parents were senators and politicians and lawyers and doctors. And yeah, their college experience was different than mine. My dad drove a truck, but I was there. You know, fuck off. Don't feel sorry for me. And don't assume that all black people are poor, because there are a lot of people who are not poor and they're very black. You know, my cousins, they do great. They got subscriptions to Jet and Ebony magazine, which is hilarious because I didn't even know that shit was still in publication. And their son is growing up. His starter car is nicer than the car I drive every day. And I drive an Audi. So don't get me started on that. I felt like I didn't have anything to talk about, but I did. So the moral of the story is, pay attention to who you meet and mate with. Protect your children. If you see a child in danger, protect that child. We're in a time now where if something looks weird, you need to investigate it. It's better to be embarrassed and err on the side of caution if you think that child is being kidnapped or that child isn't really with their parent or with, you know, it's okay. Because there are, to pretend that people aren't being sex trafficked and harmed and damaged is wrong. That's inaccurate. It's happening way more than you think. And it's going to only be stopped by citizens. Because I'm not sure what's going on, but it doesn't feel like the government wants to stop drugs or sex trafficking. And I'm not sure why. But I don't want any smoke. I'm just saying we need to figure out how we're going to stop it ourselves. So that's one lesson. The other lesson is, don't ever confuse black with poor. All black people are not poor, and all poor people are not black. And even if you think some stupid shit like that, don't say it out loud. That's the quiet part you keep in your head. I tell you guys, learn to read the room. And when I'm in it, you got an angry middle-aged, hopefully in the middle, middle-aged black woman. So you can already guess. You probably shouldn't say no crazy shit, because I'm going to call you on it. I love teeing off on people. All right, everybody, have an amazing weekend. Don't go out there doing stupid racial shit. Be smart. Say smart things. And just take care of yourselves, okay? I want to meet back here next week. All right? Take care.